is National Meteor Asteroid Watch Day. Did you know that? Huh? That's what today is. So where do aliens park their spaceships? At parking meteors. Parking meters. Where do astronauts like to read the most? What do astronauts like to read the most? Comet books. We're getting better. Why do astronauts always get the extra large hamburgers? They like it a little meteor. You got it. All right. And then what is a meteor's favorite key on a computer? The space bar. All right. Well, I'm sure you love those. Those jokes were out of this world this morning. But so it's why is it Meteor Day? Have you ever heard of the Tunguska event of 1908? Have you ever heard of this? I never heard of it until this past week. 1908 in Siberia, Russia. This place is way out in Siberia. It's a real desolate area and this happened in 1908, and there was these reindeer herders. So they were out there herding their reindeer, and they're kind of like shepherds of reindeer. And so it's really a very low population area. It's Serbia, right? So it's pretty desolate. So 1908 at 7:15 in the morning on June 30th. They had this meteor come through. There's theories that it wasn't, but all the historical documents say that it's this meteor, this asteroid that came into Earth, and it was like 1,000 times more powerful than the bomb at Hiroshima. So it was this nuclear blast. So it came through, and these reindeer herders were 20 miles away, and the account goes that they saw this thing entered the atmosphere, and it exploded 6 miles above the Earth. When it hit the atmosphere, it exploded. That explosion took out like 850 square miles of trees and flattened it. And so all this place was barren, and a couple people died, and it knocked these guys out 20 miles away. But this historical event happened in 1908. They didn't get into this location to see the damage for 20 years because it was during World War I. So there's a lot of, it's not like we are today, right? Today we would have been in with drones and people would have been in there seeing what was going on. But 1908, it was, so 20 years later they get in there and the damage was, all these trees, they estimate that it was 80 million trees were just flattened from this explosion that happened. So you should look that up. It's the Tunguska event of 1908. Pretty amazing story. So that's what happened today. And how many years ago? 115 years ago. Let's open up in prayer as we get going this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your power. Lord, we thank you for your love and we thank you for our salvation. Lord, we know when things go crazy and things get hard in life that you love us. And I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for just the time that you spoke to me the last couple weeks on seeing things a little different. And I thank you for that. Speak to us this morning, Lord. Speak through me. Help your word that we're opening to be relevant in our lives today and to share that with other people. You know, we pray, amen. Jen and I were gone. And this island we were at, it's do you ever watch Pirates of the Caribbean? Who's watched Pirates of the Caribbean? You ever say so? there's a lot of this, the Pirates of the Caribbean was shot at a lot of different spots on these islands, right? There's this one location, it's called the Indian River. And it's this guy, they take you in a boat and you go up this river, and it's one of these scenes in one of these movies, and it's kind of like this voodoo doctor thing, and it's kind of like this hut and this stuff in the back. It's interesting. You go up this river. But anyhow, the guy that was taking our boat up this river, he called himself Superman, right? And if they speak English, but it's very Jamaican type of style, and actually people would run out when Jen and I were driving down these islands, and they're like, look, a white man, and they would kind of run to the car, right, to see us. So we're going up this river, and this guy, as we were talking, he kept telling that he called himself Superman. And as we get up the river and we go up and kind of come down, I start talking to him, and I started talking to him about the Lord, and all of a sudden, like, because he kept talking about creation, he kept talking about how great creation was and how the oneness of God with creation. He kept talking about God, and he kept talking about him as being Superman. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. You remember, and last year at this neighbor at this time, I didn't forget. Do you remember when I talked to you about this guy named King that we met somewhere else, that he was from Boston, and or not from Boston, he's from Baltimore, and he called himself King. And I had this guy that I didn't want to talk to, but I ended up talking to him because that I didn't have a choice. So I talked to that guy, King, last year. And this guy, Superman, had the same spirit that this guy, King, had. Their spirit was, I'm not a sinner. You're not a sinner. I'm a good person. I'm a positive thinker. I'm above these things. I have this connection with God, that I meet with God. I have this magical experience with God. This man, King, last year had that same spirit. This man, Superman, had this same spirit. As I talked to him, he said, no, you're not a sinner. He said, no. He it's positive. You're God, the creator. And he talked about, but I said, well, what's your thought on Jesus? Because this is what the Bible says. This is what Christ said who he was. This guy, so now, same as King, they were anti-Christ. They believed in God, but they didn't hold to Jesus Christ as being the Savior. This spirit, and I talked to this guy, and he said, listen, Superman, I get on this deeper level, man. You say, I get this deeper level, and I can sit, and he's in this trance for days speaking with this God that he thinks is God. And I was like, where is this coming from? And I told Jen, I was like, this is the same spirit that this King guy had. So then for the next 2 weeks, I just started looking at the spirit world, right? I mean, we know the Holy Spirit is within us once we're believers. We know that the spiritual dimension, it happens all around us. What does that look like? Because now all of a sudden I have been confronted with this guy, King, who was under some spirit of darkness. This guy, Superman, who was under some spirit of darkness. And I told him, I said, well, next time you meet with your God, ask him who the Savior of the world is. Bring that up to you, because he was saying that he sat in these trances. And don't get me wrong, very nice men, two nice, super nice men, very flamboyant personalities. You're attracted to them. But when they bring out their doctrine and their thoughts, and the Superman said, well, no, God, men of God, pastors, come to me. They're drawn to me because I know more. And I was I started a conversation with him. They're drawn to you because your doctrine is so messed up and you're following an evil spirit. And all these guys are trying to show you the truth. Right? That's what was going on. So anyhow, that took me on this, this path of what is going on with this? The spiritual dimension, how does that look? Because we know we are in it. We know scripture talks about it. And so many times we are speaking of Christ. We are speaking of our salvation. We are speaking of how to live for the Lord. We are speaking of how to share Christ. We're speaking of the things that we ought to do. And many times we forget that we're in this demonic spiritual battle, good and evil, this spiritual battle that's around us all the time. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to be jumping around between Ephesians, 1 John, and I want to touch on Daniel. So, Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. And I'm going to jump through here pretty quick. Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. We all know we were dead in our sins, right? We were all dead. We were sinners, and in which you used to live. When you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. We know that spirit is still in existence. We know that the spirit of this world is in control of this dimension, this world, the sinful world. So we know that spirit is in existence. Ephesians, so continue in verse 3. All of us who also lived among them at one time, we were all living that same way, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature objects of wrath. We were all there. We were all sinners, right? We were every last human being on this earth was a sinner that needs a savior. This spirit that these men had were saying, no, you don't need a savior. I'm my savior. You're not a sinner. He told me, you're not a sinner. You're not a sinner. That's just all deception. The deception is what our title is, salvation deception. The spirits that are out there, and this goes back to Gnosticism. That's what this is going back to. This spirit, that's kind of what I nailed this down to. I kind of went back and said, this is the spirit of Gnosticism that the apostles warned the early church about. That they have this greater knowledge and that they are above a sinfulness, because if you sin in your body, it's in your body and not the spirit. So it's all like Gnostics was all about the spirit. So you could sin any sin you wanted to at the time. And that's what the early church and the apostles were telling the early church. And those doctrines of that early church, of that spirit of Gnosticism is plentiful today. These men are proof of that. 1 John. Jump over 1 John chapter 2, 20 through 23. As we kind of boil some of this down. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. We have an anointing of the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. We all know the truth if we have the anointing of the Spirit. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar is the question. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. That's the liar. The man that denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son, Jesus Christ, has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. These men, and you can see it in the United States, and you can see it all around the world, these people are being blind, and we see it in churches even, and we see it in big churches, we see it in small churches, we see it all over about the denying of who Jesus Christ is. And they're denying the salvation power of Jesus Christ. Therefore, if you don't have Christ as your Savior, Scripture tells us we cannot know God. We can't get to heaven. The spirit of Gnosticism, which was taking place also in the early church, was the same thing going on. And the apostles warned the early church, and the early church fathers, after the apostles passed on, kept that warning alive and going forward of this is a warning. This is what evil spirits are telling us. We're being deceived about salvation. Okay, so that's where we get. So what are we to do? 1 John chapter 4, just jumping over to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you are to recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. The Antichrist, people that are anti-Jesus, people that are anti-Christ, is out in the world. And it's growing. And we see it growing amongst us. We see it happening. These guys, King and Superman, were blinded, being deceived by evil spirits. So that took me down. How does that spiritual world work? I haven't studied. You know, I studied salvation. I study who Jesus Christ is. Have I looked and really gone in depth? Me personally, on the spirit world, I not until like a couple weeks ago when this happened, I was like, what is going on? So I started to look a little bit at how this realm of the spirit world works. And I'm not, you know, sometimes when people say that, you're like, okay, where are they going? So I was kind of like, even for me, I'm like, where am I going with this? But I just wanted to say, okay, because we know that we're human and we know there's the spirit world. That took me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, all of us in here, every person, every man, woman, and child, every believer, every non-believer, this is the struggle. It is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's where it's taking place. I was like, okay, what's taking place in this heavenly realm? Because how many times we think heaven? Well, God's in heaven, right? God's in heaven, but there's heavenly realms as well. And in the heavenly realms, there's angels and there's demons in the heavenly realms. the spiritual dimension that we cannot see. We can't touch it. Many times we can feel it, right? We can feel when the Spirit is working within us. But there's a spiritual realm. I said, how does that look? What does that look like? What's an example of Scripture? Because if it's not in Scripture, I'm not preaching on it, right? If it's in Scripture, I want to know how that looks and base it on what the Bible says. Because that's the job. The job I'm commissioned with is to teach Scripture, to teach God's Word. So what's that heavenly realm look like? That takes me to Daniel. Daniel 10. I've read Daniel, studied Daniel, looked at Daniel from a different perspective on this chapter after I met these two men and realized that this spirit that was this evil spirit that's controlling these guys on where they were at. So we're looking at the spiritual realm. Daniel chapter 10, I'm going to read 1 through 14. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. We understand this is going to the future. The understanding of the message came to Daniel in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned. For 3 weeks I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotion at all until the 3 weeks were over. Remember that. So Daniel's in Persia. 3 weeks he mourned over this. 3 weeks. Remember that. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. So this powerful angel was standing there before Daniel. Which we understand angels, don't we? We get angels. We understand it. Verse 7, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, Daniel says. I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him, the angel, speaking. And as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you. And stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Verse 12. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. This is the very interesting part getting into this. And I have come in response to them, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. So this angel, 3 weeks. So what happened here? So Daniel was in Persia. He's in the Persian region. He sees this vision. He calls out to God. And he's praying. The angel said, God hears his prayer. God hears his prayer right away. And what's happened? So God commissions this angel in this heavenly realm, commissions this angel, go down and answer Daniel. Great. So what's the angel do? The angel says, boom, God said it, I'm on my way. And then all of a sudden, he's held up. This is a spiritual dimension that we don't see. God spoke to this angel. The angel's doing his job. The angel goes to tell Daniel, and now all of a sudden the angel is held up by the prince of Persia, where they were. This demonic being, this evil spirit that controlled the realm of Persia. How was he detained? Was there a battle? I don't know. But he was blocked. The angel was blocked for 3 weeks. 21 days. Read that again, verse 12, and then we're going to end up at 14. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. God heard you. And I have come in response to them because God sent me. But the prince of Persia, the Persian kingdom, resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, the archangel, right? Michael had to be called in. The big guns had to be called in. Why? What was going on here? Then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Okay, so it said Michael, the chief priest, the chief prince of heaven, the angel. So there, as you read about the spiritual dimension in this realm, there's different levels, even in the spiritual world, of angels and demons. God commissioned an angel. Was it a smaller angel? Was it a private and not a colonel? I don't know how that army looks. But obviously there's something going on in that spiritual dimension that the evil spirits control the world, right? They control the things of this world, and God allows it. And God allowed this angel to be held up by the prince of this evil spirit of Persia. So he couldn't get to Daniel. We don't see much of this in scripture, but we see it here. And to me, when I saw that, I was like, how does this work? Because now I just met these two men within the last year that obviously are controlled by this spirit. Well, how does that look for us? How does that look for us? Verse 14. Then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. I've never looked at this way until I met these guys. Until I really realized, you know, we talk about it. I know I've talked about it for years. I taught my kids this. I told people about it, that, yeah, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's about, you know, the spiritual world. And until it really dawned on me, and I started pulling this up, and I started talking to these guys, I was like, wait a minute. Scripture popped into my head. You know what I mean? When all of a sudden something becomes really real to you? I've talked about the spiritual world. I have Christ in my life. I know I'm filled with the Spirit. I asked to be filled with the Spirit. But when I came up against these evil spirits and tried to discuss these things, I realized this spiritual realm, the heavenly realm, that we are truly battling with, where an angel can be blocked by a demon. I'm not reading into much. I'm just telling you, this is what the Bible tells us. This is what the Bible tells me. This angel was blocked by this demon, this evil spirit. I thought God was controlling everything. He is. And God allows stuff, just like he allows us to sin. He allows other things to take place. We all know there's a time of judgment that will come. But these angels then was blocked. So what does that mean for us? If we truly know and understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood, like these guys, King and Superman, my battle isn't against them. They're my brothers, my human brothers, aren't they? I'm supposed to love them. I'm supposed to tell them exactly what I did with, about Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to tell them about salvation. And they're being blocked. Their mind is filled with this evil spirit. How does that look for us? That's what, so my thought was, well, if I'm praying, because this could, the same thing could happen to us. If we're praying, calling out to God for help, God heard Daniel's prayer. And right away, he sent an answer. But that answer couldn't get to Daniel for 21 days. 21 days. So what was Daniel? So Daniel stayed on that bank for Tigris and didn't eat. He was waiting and seeking after this answer. What happens if that happens to us? What do we do? Are we prepared to deal with evil spirits or to deal with these temptations that hit us? What are we to do? If we have to wait 21 days, if we're praying to God, Lord, help me with this situation. Lord, help our church to reach people. Lord, help us to be relevant in people's lives in this church to teach who Jesus Christ is, to teach the scriptures as it's supposed to be taught. God hears those prayers. But what happens if the messengers come back is blocked? Because we see it taking place in the heavenly realms. It comes down, in my opinion, which we're going to be jumping into this in the next couple weeks. And it goes back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Because we know in verse 10, Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Are we as believers putting on the full armor of God? The angel, what if an angel comes, is sent on a mission and is blocked, that means what? We have to defend the things, the temptations. And I'm not saying we. I'm just saying as Christians, we have to hold firm. We have to hold the line. We have to stand firm in Jesus Christ with the full armor of God. If our backup is being blocked, which is scriptural. We just saw that is scriptural. Because I always understood that God can help us at any time. And I fully 100% still know God can help us at any time. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, without a question. But he allows things to happen. Just like when we discussed James, we talked about perseverance. We talked about in the times of trouble how we are to maintain course and glorify God in all situations, right? Those things. If this happens and we're in a temptation and we're getting hit around us with the fiery darts of the devil and everything's taking place and we don't have backup, guess what our first line of defense is? Well, I'm seeing from scripture, it's the full armor of God. Right? Do we have it on? Do I have it on? I was walking through airports and after I started looking at everybody way different. I was talking to a guy on the one thing and I was talking to people and I realized that all these people, even in here, we all, I've said it before, we live in our little bubbles, right? We all have a different story. We all have this different past, these things that have taken place. And it how we think and how we look at things it's different for all of us. This one guy, he was 10 years younger than me and he grew up in Puerto Rico and his dad died when he was 3 and his mom died when he was like 6 and he grew up with his grandma and we had this great conversation about the Lord, but his life looked so different than mine, right? It changed how he would think about things. And I thought about you, John, when you told me when you were in the wheelchair for your daughter's wedding at how old? 55? 55. I'm 55. when John was 55, he was not sure if he was going to live, right? Right, John? And look where he is. Our worlds are different on how, for each one of us, but we have the same Savior. Salvation deception is taking place amongst people. How salvation works for all of us is the same, Jesus Christ. We need to continue to tell people about Jesus Christ. We need to continue as believers to hold strong when we are confronted with these spirits, when we are confronted with temptation, all this other stuff. But I know for me, is my armor as strong as it should be? Because I was looking at people and hundreds of people, thousands of people in the airport, thousands of people. And my thought was, and I haven't had this thought, and I hate to say it, probably since high school, when I was still on the Empire State Boarding one time, I looked down at New York, and I just saw all these people. And I thought to myself, how many of those people are going to heaven? And that's what I thought in the airport. Looked out there, how many people know Jesus Christ here? How many people are going to be dying in hell? Next couple of weeks, we're going to look at our armor. Is our armor of God where it should be? So we're going to be looking at that as we close. It kind of takes with when we're going to close with the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed, have you guys ever said the Apostles' Creed? Okay. Apostles' Creed is one of those things, a saying, it's tradition, it's not found in Scripture, it's not found in the Bible. Apostles' Creed was taken for the exact reason of what Gnosticism was teaching. Gnosticism was teaching all this heresy, this blinding people in the early church, and about 150 years after the apostles were all dead, the early church gathered and said, this Gnosticism is going crazy on this, and we need to have something. We need to boil down our belief system of what the Bible says as a creed so we understand this is the boiled down what our belief system is of the Bible and who God is and who Jesus is. And it came down to the Apostles' Creed. So I wanted to recite that today. We can all stand together. But if you've never said it, there's two areas that people do have questions, and I want to bring that up. One about where it talks about Jesus descending into hell. Jesus descended into Hades, which is paradise. He went to the good side of Hades and pulled those people out that already died. And we see that to be scriptural too with Lazarus and the rich man. Two separate sides of Hades. It's not the lake of fire. Lake of fire is the final death, right? So that's one people get confused with. And then the second one is it talks about the Holy Catholic Church. Catholic meaning the universal church, not the Roman Catholic Church. So I just wanted to pull that out there because I've heard many people talk about the Apostles' Creed. So we're talking about come on, let's step back. We're going to recite this together. So all stand and follow after me. I'll repeat it. You can repeat after me. This is the Apostles' Creed. This has been being said by Christian believers throughout the world about 150 years after the time of Christ. So our founding brothers, sisters, fathers, and mothers of the God, of our Christian heritage has been saying this for thousands of years. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing me some things this last couple of weeks about a dimension and that I haven't looked at the aspect of for many years. Lord, I pray that you will help us as a church to begin to look at the armor that we need to put around ourselves. Lord, I pray for this guy King that I met years ago, and I also pray for this guy Superman. As they meet with these spirits that we know are evil spirits, Lord, I pray that you will break into these men and that they will come to know the truth about your salvation. That's up to you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this time. In your name I pray. Amen.